podcast party to slay a dragon.
As the four of you step into the doorway of Toymaker Hall, a foul, sickly sweet stench assails you, and I would like each of you to please make wisdom survival checks.
I would like to block my nose immediately.
Okay. It certainly isn't pleasant for what it's worth, Violet.
All right, then never mind.
Malibu rolled a 7.
Iswava rolled a 9.
Belton rolled a 9 as well.
Violet rolled a 15.
It is foul and pervasive and seems to be emanating from deeper inside the manor. None of you can identify it with a 15, but Malibu, it does seem familiar to you, although you can't place it.
What is that?
It smells so, sort of familiar. I don't know. Do we have to go in here?
I didn't see another way.
I believe that we do.
Belton, go on.
Yeah, thanks.
Right behind you.
Okay. So Belton will move northward through this ruined hallway.
Uh-oh, I see something in the next room. I think it's a dead body.
It's a big dead body.
As you reach the end of the hallway, there is a scene of death and carnage. Sprawled throughout the main hall of the manor are the rotting bodies of ogres and orcs. They look to be at least a few days dead, and the hall is also filled with destroyed furniture, as if objects have been picked up and thrown against walls, couches, chairs, this destroyed table in the middle of the room. You see the bodies of two ogres and also the smaller bodies of a few orcs strewn about the room. You also do notice there are several doors leading off of this main hall in various directions.
How many ogres, Belton?
Well, there's two of them that I can see, and there's like four. I guess those are orcs. Yeah, four of them.
Okay.
I don't know where that smell is coming from, but ugh.
I think the smell is them. Dead body.
There's definitely the decay of death. You know, there's rotting, oversized corpses in this room, eye-wateringly foul. But there is that weird, sickly, sweet smell kind of layered on top of it that somehow makes it even more stomach-churning.
Perhaps I could speak to one of them.
Oh.
Wait, before we go in.
Yes.
Does it look like they killed each other? Like they were fighting each other? Or does it look like they were fighting something else? Like, is there any signs of anything else?
I would call for an intelligence investigation check, and you might have to get closer to the bodies as well.
All right. Malibu will carefully go in and get closer to the closest ogre body.
I'll say, Malibu, your choice. It is intelligence. It'll be either investigation or medicine.
Malibu rolled a 0.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
The ogre is dead. Yeah, I guess you kind of start to retch almost as soon as you try to examine it, Malibu, I guess is what happens there.
I'm going to go over because I have a specialty with, it's called autopsy. So I can add a what is that called? An expertise die?
Correct.
Yeah, to medicine.
So same thing, intelligence, medicine, and feel free to apply your expertise die.
Oh, Violet got a 25. This is her jam, you know.
So Malibu's sort of retching. Violet is stooped over the bloody corpse of that ogre.
It's okay, dear. It's okay. You can step back.
Viswava and Belton are looking past them towards the body of the other ogre that's kind of lying in the more northeastern section of the room. Belton, you notice the body shift and move a little bit. Like it almost...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Undulates.
Something disgusting's gonna come out of there.
It bulges, and then a dark, viscous mass flows out and through the rotting corpse. And begins to slough towards you.
Disgusting!
Rears up like a living nebulous pudding, rises up from the corpse, and you
don't
can see that the corpse is partially dissolved by acid that seems to be emanating from this creature, but sensing fresh prey, it starts sloughing towards you, and we are in initiative.
Good. Lord, did I discover anything while I was looking at that body?
This happened when you started the examination, so I'll give you the results when you have a chance to take a good look at them. Initiative is a wisdom perception check.
Of course. Violet got a 6.
Viswava got an 8.
Belton got an 18.
Malibu got a 22.
Thank goodness, that's all I can say. Can we call this almost anything other than a pudding, or are we calling it a pudding?
I mean, that's its technical name. It is called a pudding.
Ew.
You wheel around at Malibu and you see this thing rising like a black wave out of the corpse of that ogre across the room. You have the first move.
Pudding? No, I don't know what that is.
Malibu just draws his sword and he goes straight at it. Bonus action, he's going to rage, and then he is going to strike it with his Dragon's Bane longsword. An 11?
It splits partially in halves and just avoids the slash completely, Malibu. It kind of parts and moves to either side of the blade and then reseals itself immediately after your stroke passes. You have missed it with an 11.
And that's his turn.
Belton, it is your turn.
Do I know anything about these things at all?
Intelligence, arcana, or nature?
Intelligence, arcana, or intelligence, nature. Well, both are a plus zero, so I will go with an arcana. Hope for the best. Oh, I got a 17.
Belton, there are many different types of oozes. Mindless, able to squeeze through the narrowest of cracks. They inhabit dank, dark places all over the world. They are opportunistic predators and scavengers. You suspect this one may have been drawn here by the carnage decay. This is a black pudding. It devours living and dead organic material, like flesh, wood, and bone. And its acid can melt metal.
Oh, that's not good at all. That's very bad. Shoot. Belton screams out to Malibu. He goes, get away from that thing. It's going to eat through your metal, your sword. We got to hide from it or something. So Belton will run around Viswava to the east, run to the door, whisper to Viswava, I think we need some help. I'm going to get the big ogre in there to help us out. Is that okay?
Are you out of your mind?
Probably. And then he will run to the door and try to yank it open.
You pull on it, Belton. It is firmly locked.
Ah, shit. I will pull out my thieves' tools and attempt to pick the lock.
That'll be a dexterity thieves' tools check.
That's a 12.
Complex lock, Belton. You fiddle around with it. You get your pick jammed for a moment and then withdraw it, but all the tumblers are still in place. A 12 does not get through that door.
Yeah, my hands are shaking, and I flip to the next lock pick in my thieves' tools kit, and I say, just give me a few seconds! And that's my turn.
Oh, God.
Viswava, it is your turn.
Because I am near Belton, I sigh heavily and ask myself why exactly I am doing this. And I would like to see if I can assist him in kicking or breaking the lock on that door.
What I'll interpret that as is attempting to help Belton if Belton makes another attempt to pick that lock.
Correct.
Okay, so you are holding your action.
Yeah.
And as a reaction, you will assist Belt to do that. Fair enough.
Yep.
Violet, it is your turn.
Okay, I see that they're at the door and I want to help. I'm going to move 20 feet to my southeast, so I'm nearish the door. And I'm just going to say, Junog, it's me, Violet. My friends and I are here and we're trying to let you out. So please, it's me. Don't attack us. We're friends. We're just fighting something that has killed your countrymen. And then I'm going to magic missile at level 2 this thing.
You hear him reply from the other side. And he says,
Violet, it's you. Is it them? Are they back?
No.
I wasn't trying to get out. It's them. They tried to take me out. I didn't want to go. It's their fault. Take them, not me.
Oh no, he's so scared. I see that you're very scared. Don't worry. There's a lot of us here. We can help. And then, I magic missile. Second level, this thing, I won't say its name. Unfortunately, I rolled a 1, and that's just times 4.
The magic eggplants fire from your fingertips and smash into this amorphous blob that does sizzle, and wherever the eggplants touch it, those pieces harden and crack and fall away. But unfortunately, it was not your strongest cast of magic missile at 8 points of force damage.
And then I'm going to move my last 10 feet to move further south into the doorway of the hallway, just to back up.
It is the thing's turn. This wave of black slime ripples and rises taller than your head, Malibu, and then crashes down towards you.
I'm going to use a maneuver as a reaction. It's called Primal Intercept. When a creature makes a melee weapon attack or attempts to grapple you, you can use your reaction to make an attack against.
Absolutely, that is happening.
Hey, let's hope I can kill it in one shot. That is a 10.
Okay, it flows right over the sideways slash of your sword, avoiding it completely. And let's see if it hits you. It got a 23 on you. So it crashes,
gosh.
It arcs over your sword and crashes down onto you, Malibu.
Oh, no.
9 bludgeoning damage plus 7 acid damage. You feel the heaviness of its weight drop on you, and then your flesh sizzles wherever it contacts you. So that was 9 bludgeoning and 7 acid.
So the bludgeoning goes to 4 because I'm raging.
The bludgeoning drops to 4. The acid is 7. What armor are you wearing, Malibu?
He has a shield, which is probably metal or has metal in it, and he's also wearing a halberd because he's a juggernaut. It means he can wear metal armor, and it is metal.
It starts to corrode and takes a permanent -1 armor class penalty.
No!
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Malibu, it is now your turn.
Malibu does not like that. Super mad, and he's going to take another shot at it. A 19.
19 yes. Does hit.
It takes 8 points of slashing damage, and then fire's going to roll down his arm and hit it as well, and it's going to take 4 points of fire damage.
Okay, so 12 damage total. You slice it, and then there's a sizzling sound, and it bakes under the flame of your Dragonbane longsword, Malibu. You then watch in surprise as your sword completely splits it down the middle, and the two newly created shapes begin to move independently.
Oh my god.
Each of them is smaller.
We can't do slashing damage.
This isn't good.
Anything else, Malibu?
Oh, this is so bad.
Bonus action, I'm going to use my shield to protect myself, which will give me an extra +1 to armor class.
Are they smaller?
Yes. He cut it in half. It didn't create more of it. So there are two smaller, independently moving pieces.
Got it.
Did the fire seem to hurt it?
Yes, the fire hurt it. And you cutting it did hurt it. It just also split it.
Help, guys.
I'm going to help you.
Just get away from the damn thing. Just stay away from it as far as you can. I say, Vaswava, I need a little. Could you just hold the torch? Hold the torch. Hold. I need 2 hands for this.
Got it, boss.
If you're trying to pick it again, you will have advantage on the check as Vaswava is helping.
With advantage.
Oh.
Well, I got the same thing both times. 21.
This time, with a satisfying click, you find the right counterweight and you hear the lock disengage.
Eat that, Wyvern. I mean, hold on. And I open the door.
You peer in. You can see Junog, the ogre, pressed against the wall at the far end of the room, cowering against the window where you first saw him.
Please, no more. No more.
He holds up one arm in front of his face.
What do you mean, no more? We need your help. Get out here and help us kill this thing.
He can't see.
You with the gnome, Violet.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I am Belton. Belton Freedew. I am with Violet. Please come and assist us so that we do not get eaten by this black slime.
Make a charisma persuasion check, Belton.
That's a 22.
All right.
He stands up and he says,
Slime, I can't see. I'm blind. They took my eyes.
Here, I am going to hold out my hand. Just here, take my hand.
He starts to stagger towards the doorway. Vaswava, you get a good look at him for the first time. It is indeed Junog, the ogre who betrayed you. He does seem like his eyes have been gouged out of his head.
I'll whisper to Belton.
It's him.
I know.
It is your turn, Vaswava.
Oh, God. I am going to get the heck away from this guy that I hate. What I might do, actually, is I would like to try to hide and ready an attack in the event that Junog does something unsavory and ends up turning on us and not actually helping with this slime monster.
I don't think you have a bonus action hide. Hiding would be an action for you, which...
I'll just back away. He's blind. Okay. I don't really need to hide. I'll just take my movement backwards.
And you're readying an action to attack Junog should he turn on you? Is that what you're doing?
Should he turn on us? Yep.
Got it. Violet, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm going to move 20 feet over to the door and I'm going to say, Junog, it's me. I'm here with my friend Belton and I have 2 other friends here and we're in great danger of these slime slimy things. They're really dangerous, so I want you to be careful. But if there's anything you can do to help, that would be great. And then I'm going to cast Shield of Faith on Malibu. I am overcome with this feeling that I want to protect Malibu, who I see as like his armor is sizzling and it's horrible. I'm basically going to send magical energy towards him with this feeling of encapsulating him and protecting him. And you just see a bunch of amorphous, filmy, sparkly spirits that sort of come up and stand around him. So there are like, I would say four, one in each cardinal direction, that just stand there with their arms out in a protective gesture. And I say, "Don't worry, Malibu, you'll be safer this way." Until the spell ends, a barrier of divine energy envelops the target and increases their AC by plus two.
And I believe, Violet, that spell is, that's actually a bonus action.
It is a bonus action. I'm going to Sacred Flame it.
I just need to know whether you're now targeting the left or right pudding.
Oh, the one closer to Malibu, so the left pudding.
It got a 14?
Yes, it passed, because my spell save DC is 13.
It sloshes out of the way as a burst of holy light fires down from the roof of the manor, striking the ground where it was just standing. Anything else, Violet?
Damn it. I'll move 5 feet to the west just to leave a little space, maybe 10 feet, to leave a space for this guy to come out if he wants to come out. And that's it.
Malibu, one of the oozes sloshes closer to you and then slides around behind you. And you all see...
Wait, they're flanking me?
My God.
Slime move to surround Malibu.
My God. Then...
forming viper-like pseudopods, it strikes at him from either side.
Oh so my God, you have a plus two.
With advantage. Do you have a plus two to your armor class? Okay, so the one to the northeast of you, even with flanking, it will still miss. One to the south. The one to the south, however, connects, smashing you from behind Malibu. You will take 4 bludgeoning damage reduced to 2, but you also take 13 acid damage as it burns through the back of your hauberk, and it again will permanently reduce the hauberk by 1 point of AC.
This is so terrible.
And Malibu, it is your turn.
Malibu is very wounded. His armor is very damaged. He is going to disengage, roll away from these things, and south back to that doorway.
I don't know what to do. Do we fight these things?
And as he's running back, can he glance at the ogre and see, is he carrying the mace?
He's not. He does not have anything in his hands.
Yeah, once again, he's going to try to protect himself with his shield.
Belton, it is your turn.
Oh, crap. He doesn't have any weapons at all, does he?
No.
Great. I'm going to have to give this guy a rock or something. Ah, man. Well, I'm going to stay way the heck away from these things, that's for sure. Which one of these two, if at all, seems to be less...
They look completely identical. They look completely identical.
Okay, cool. Belton will move his entire movement 35 feet and turn back to Junog and say, "Junog, follow the sound of my voice!" And he just screams as he runs northward. Ah! And to the east, hugging the wall. And then from there, he will shoot his short bow at one of these two black puddings. And he gets an 11.
Sails right past it.
Damn it.
Sticks into a piece of masonry.
I guess as a bonus action, I will attempt to hide behind some of this rubble.
Dexterity stealth, please.
Oh, that's a natural one, but I have lucky.
Right.
Which allows me to re-roll any natural one. And I just got one higher. I got a 2 on that roll.
No, you have deuces wild or something like that.
Oh,
right?
But I think that's only for damage. Let me double check on that for features. Deuces wild. When you roll a natural 2 on the d20 for an attack roll and ability check, you may re-roll it. So I'm gonna roll it again. Oh, there we go. That's a 22.
You dive under a pile of collapsed alchemical equipment in the corner, Belt, and you think you're pretty well hit. It is Junok's turn. He staggers out, feeling along the wall, and then his head swivels to the left, and he starts making his way westward towards the exit hall, moving slowly. He sort of bumps into Violet and Vaswava and comes up short. He says, "Who is it? Who's there? Get out of my way!"
It's me. What are you so afraid of?
What do you mean? It's them. Where are they? Can't you smell it? That sickly sweet, only one thing smells like that. They're here. They're still here somewhere.
What is it? Help us. What is it?
Trolls!
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Do I see a mace on him?
You do not see. He's not have anything. No, there's just like ragged furs that he's wearing. He doesn't have any items on.
All right. Okay, got it.
She's going to try to get past you unless you're preventing him.
No, I'm not going to. No.
Wait, can he get past Malibu?
Well, unless you're preventing him.
I'm going to prevent him. Where is he going?
He stops up short and he says, "Who's this? Out of my way. Got to get out."
No, stay. What about these trolls? Tell me about trolls. Where are the trolls?
They're here. They're still here.
Esuava, it is your turn.
Oh, I'm not going to attempt to hit these puddings because all I've got is metal stuff, but I am going to attempt to create some sort of a diversion to get attention away from Malibu and hopefully get Belton a chance to get out at these fools. I would like to travel left, kind of toward the body of this dead ogre on the left, and scream and potentially throw one of those pieces of wood in the direction of these black puddings to create a diversion.
Okay. Can you please make a charisma your choice, either intimidation or performance?
Ooh, it's going to be an intimidation for sure. Yeah, I got a 15.
The closer half of the slime creature, the top half of its body, swirls and pivots towards you. You've certainly got the attention, at least of the southeast half of the creature that is split. Violet, it is your turn.
I'm going to move 10 feet south, so I'm next to Malibu, and I'm going to try to, again, magic missile the southern pudding at level 2 and hopefully roll better this time. Okay, that's a 3, so that's 12 total.
4 more glowing purple eggplants fire from your palms, thud into the creature. It writhes and splatters, and shards seem to dry up and then break as they hit the floor. It does take the 12 force damage, but it is still there, Violet.
Okay, I'm gonna stay where I am.
It is the creature's turn. Viswava, the one that you attracted, which is now looking like the more damaged of the two, flows 5 feet across the floor towards you and takes a swipe at you with its pseudopod.
Yeah, fair enough.
A 13?
13 does not hit.
Yes!
You dodge out of the way as it falls just short of you. The other one does not perceive Belton. It instead is going to head for the closest target, which is the blind Junog, who's still stuck in the doorway in front of Malibu. Junog is blind, so it reaches for him with its pseudopod with advantage. Oh, it crit him.
Oh, crap.
Yikes.
I feel terrible.
I don't.
All right, so he screams.
It really does.
As the slime laps against the center of his back. Yeah, there's just, you see his back is bubbling and blistering as the creature strikes him. He staggers but does not go down, but he took a massive hit in the center of his back from this creature. It is Malibu's turn.
Malibu will, because he's got his beauty glamour rage up, will get his 2 temporary hit points back. And then he is going to take his javelin and he's going to throw it at the ooze closest. The 16?
16 does hit.
All right.
8 piercing damage.
The javelin plunges into the center of the creature. It writhes and squirms around the javelin as you impale it. Does not split. And that does seem to be effective against it. You have wounded it with that javelin.
With his bonus action, he's going to do another maneuver, and he's going to be out of his exertion points. He is going to use Catch Your Breath, where he can heal himself 1d6 plus 4, for a total of 8.
Cool.
Belton, it is your turn.
Belton will come out of stealth and will shoot an arrow at that same black pudding slice that Malibu just threw a javelin at. So I'll have advantage on this shot. 15 to hit.
15 does hit.
Okay.
Yes.
That is 8 piercing damage. Let me roll my sneak attack, which is 2d6. Get to reroll the 2. 6 sneak attack damage.
14 damage total.
That is correct.
Put the arrow center mass in the slime as it peels off of Junog's back and begins to pool. It quivers and shudders under the impact. That one is looking quite badly wounded, but it is not destroyed, Belton. Anything else?
Yeah, I will move to a different position within the room, perhaps towards the north where there is a destroyed couch or settee, I'm not quite sure, and I will attempt to hide there as best I can.
Dexterity self.
Right on. That's a 15.
You conceal yourself behind the moldering sofa. It is Junog's turn. He gives a wail of fear and rage. Since he cannot force his way past Malibu, he's going to disengage, and he stumbles away from the creature that just attacked him, collides with a wall.
God.
Oh, it's so sad.
And then, okay, he kind of knows where he is, turns and moves north across the room, and he is out of movement. He's just trying to get away from these creatures that are attacking him. It is Vyslava's turn.
Vyslava would like to attempt to stab the black pudding in front of her with her dagger. Ooh, well, I rolled a 7.
You thrust the dagger at it, but it arcs and curls out of the way like a breaking wave around your arm, and you do completely miss it.
Tough times.
Anything else, Vyslava?
That's it for me.
Violet.
You can see that Malibu is very hurt, so I'm gonna cast Cure Wounds on him for 11 hit points. And
that helps a lot, thanks.
Oh, good, you're very welcome. And I'm gonna stay where I am because I don't want them to be able to flank again. And that's my turn.
Vyslava, the creature next to you reaches for you again with its pseudopod. With a 12, it will miss you again. The
yes.
other one glides across the floor towards Malibu.
Son of a bitch. Him.
That is only a 7, so Malibu, you have plenty of time to see this thing flowing across the floor towards you. You just kind of leapfrog it as it arcs its slime at your feet. They have missed you, and Malibu, it is your turn.
Malibu is going to draw his dagger and flip it around like an ice pick and try to ice pick this thing. He rolled a natural 1.
Yep. You sort of fumble and you come up with the dagger facing the wrong way and you find yourself poking at it with the hilt. And by the time you figure out the correct end of the dagger, the moment has passed. Anything else, Matt?
He's never done that before. He just thought it was cool. Then, even though this thing is covered in acid, he's going to use his bonus action to shield bash it.
Okay.
For the 17.
17 does hit.
Takes 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Love it.
You smack it with the shield, kind of splatting it momentarily flat against the ground. Some of its body splatters up at you, Malibu, and you feel it burning as it touches your skin as you smash it with your shield. Oh my God. Malibu, you take 9 acid damage.
Okay. Oh, thank God I just healed you.
My temps eat up 4 of that.
Good.
Your shield is corroded, taking a permanent -1 penalty to damage. Belton, it is your turn.
Yes, it's called Perplexing Flurry. The problem with this is that it requires me to hit them with a melee attack. And I've been perfectly fine shooting from afar, but I see Vyslava's kind of up Schitt's Creek without a paddle here. So I will come out of stealth and run 35 feet to the other side of Vyslava, flanking, giving me advantage where I could potentially get sneak attack. Perplexing Flurry maneuver, which basically causes my enemy to suffer disadvantage while I focus all of my attacks on it. Now, I don't have multiple attacks, but if I hit it, then it gets disadvantage on any attacks against me. And this is with my Dwarven Dagger. This is with my +1 Dwarven Dagger. The finger. That's a natural 1, but luckily I do get lucky again, and I get a 19.
So yeah, you actually have advantage anyway because you're flanking.
That's true, that's true. So that is 5 piercing damage, and here comes the sneak attack. That is 11 sneak attack damage.
That'll be 16 damage total?
Correct.
Yeah, you plunge it into the gooey mess between you and Vyslava and twist, and it kind of coils and as if almost spitted on your dagger. You pull the goop back, trailing dead masses of drying goop flesh with you, but some of it sizzles onto your arm, Belton.
Ow!
And you will take 9 acid damage, Belton. However, the Forge God's finger is not damaged by the slime.
All right.
It is Junog's turn. He stumbles across the room, feeling his way along the north wall, and pushes a door open on the northeast side of the room and begins to squeeze through the doorway to the north. That's as much movement as he has. Vyslava, it is your turn.
I'm going to try again with this dagger, see if we do any better. I rolled a 19.
19 does hit. You might as well roll again to see if you crit, since you do happen to be now flanking with Belton. Okay, no, we'll go with the 19.
Great, so that's 7 piercing damage here.
You drive the dagger as it arcs towards Belton. You stab it from behind. What little intact remnants there are of this particular piece of slime dry and shatter into powder.
Yes!
At your feet as it is destroyed.
Nice, nice, nice.
Because it was a killing blow. You do not take the acid damage from it. So that piece is down.
I am going to use my movement to try and get close to the door that Junog is running through.
Meanwhile, it is Violet's turn.
Oh, no, Malibu. And I'm going to heal him again. Going to cure wounds this time. Sorry, that was a terrible roll. 4 points.
Right.
I'm going to stay where I am.
It reaches for Malibu. Malibu got a 15.
My armor class is now normally 18, but I'm minus 2. So it's 16, plus I get the 2 from the spell.
Yep.
Shield of Faith.
Yeah, so it slaps harmlessly off of Violet's Shield of Faith.
Yes.
That is its turn, and Malibu, it is your turn.
Malibu is going to slip around behind it, past Violet, all the way around and flank it.
Yeah.
Going to once again try to ice pick this thing with his dagger. Thinks that looks cool. With advantage, he rolled a 24.
24 hits.
7 points of piercing damage.
Much like the Suava, you thrust into the back of the creature. It dries, turns to dust, and then flakes into harmless
yes.
dark sand
Oof.
On the ground.
Oof.
It is destroyed.
Oh, boy.
And we are out of combat.
Hi, everybody. Hope you're enjoying episode 8 of Podcast Party to Slay a Dragon, presented by Cast Party and EN Publishing. The show will be back shortly for the second part. For this series, we're using Level Up Advanced 5th Edition to enhance the classic D&D 5e experience. For more info on these cool new rules and enhancements for your 5th edition D&D games, visit levelup5e.com. You can also purchase this adventure as part of Level Up A5e's awesome new release, To Save a Kingdom, available in both hardcover and PDF formats. Thanks so much to all of you who helped make Attack on Copper Coil become a gold bestseller on Dungeon Masters Guild. As a result, this adventure will form the second part of a new Cast Party actual play podcast series together with Secrets of the Blind Palace. The series will premiere on October 24, right here in this feed. Tal Aviazer will be the Dungeon Master for that series, and we've been announcing the players on Cast Party's social media channels. Returning for that show will be Katie Lear, who appears as Viswava Vadap in this episode of To Slay a Dragon. Katie is a licensed counselor, D&D enthusiast, and New York Times featured author, interested in making anxiety therapy fun for kids. When she's not in the therapy office, Katie runs a D&D-based online coaching program for tweens and teens called Young Dragon Slayers. Young Dragon Slayers helps kids and teens forge meaningful friendships and practice social skills through online D&D. They connect kids with like-minded peers across the United States and Canada to embark on homebrew adventures facilitated by a professional DM in a safe and inclusive environment. So, if you happen to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, join them for summer camp this July. Their online course, Dragon Leaders, will be available to aspiring dungeon masters everywhere starting this summer. Learn more at youngdragonslayers.com. This summer, Cast Party returns to the Good Witch in Hastings-on-Hudson, New York on Saturday, July 13th. Join us for an evening of dragon-slaying, dungeon-delving, treasure-hunting adventure. Our professional dungeon masters will, of course, lead your party through a tabletop adventure, no previous D&D experience necessary. Your admission includes a 3-hour Dungeons & Dragons experience with a professional dungeon master, a delicious drink and snack, courtesy of the Good Witch, plus a few surprises. Located just a short train ride from New York City in the historic Hastings-on-Hudson Station, on the Metro North Hudson Line. Planning to attend with a group? We will make sure that you are seated with friends and family. If you're a new player or attending alone, don't worry. We'll make sure that you're at a table to suit your experience level. Tickets are on sale now at cast-party.com. Look, there are only 9 tickets left, so don't wait to grab your own. Now available on Dungeon Masters Guild is The Last Voyage of the Cold Comfort by our own Tal Aviazer, with full color maps by Cast Party's Carolyn Fox. Deep in the Underdark, beneath the Sword Coast, adventurers discover the secrets of a mysterious vessel adrift on the Dark Lake. It's a new 2-to-3-hour short Dungeons & Dragons adventure for 3-to-7 characters, levels 1 through 4. Look for The Last Voyage of the Cold Comfort on DMsGuild.com or follow the link in the show notes. Cast, parties, professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures, and even some we've created ourselves. Details at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games, only at Describe.com. That's D-S-C-R-Y-B.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. As always, we're offering free monthly adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening, and now, back to our adventure on the road to Toy Maker Hall.
That looked cool, right? That looked cool, like doing it like this?
That was incredible. I never thought to hold a dagger like that.
Is my javelin destroyed, by the way?
Your javelin is not destroyed. It is damaged, Malibu. It takes a permanent -1 penalty to damage rolls.
If I see Junog, like, trying to get away or trying to, like, go through the door...
Yes.
Yeah, I would yell at him and say, hey, where are you going?
He continues to make his way into that room.
Crap. I would chase after him.
I'd say you have little difficulty in catching up with him as he is blind and picking his way through detritus and rubble.
Yeah, so I just like, I tap him on the back of his, you know, on the back of his leg. I'm like, hey.
He wheels on you with a start, and he says,
No.
You notice you've made your way into a ruined library, and the northeast wall is completely collapsed and caved into a pile of rubble. There is moonlight streaming in through that northeast wall, and you can see the wooded area, the forest, trees are visible through the wall. You could walk right out the wall there.
Yeah, I guess I would look at Junog and say, hold on here, slow down. We're here to help, remember?
Oh, that's you. Violet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We defeated those things. I'm sorry that they hit you so badly.
Nah, that slime ate nothing. Just come for the free meal. Must have come after they hit us, them trolls.
Do you have any sort of weapons that would help us fight them? Anything you have that is very powerful, or we only have regular weapons, and it would help if you had something around here that would help us.
He pauses to think for a moment.
Maybe some of the toy man's old tricks. We ain't finished going through everything. Could be something around here. It's his library, books and that. Only I can't read any of them.
Mm.
He says, but I tell you what, you get me out of here, and I can show you where some real treasure. I got you hidden.
Oh, outside of this building?
Could be.
Oh, I see.
What kind of treasure are you talking here?
Who's that?
It's me.
Oh, that's Belton.
Belton, the one who opened the door.
I hear two voices, but I know there's more folk here. I hear you moving around. Who's here?
He's sort of swinging his head from side to side.
I'm here. Just don't hit me. Careful.
That's my friend Malibu.
Steps closer, sniffs. He says,
elf. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You get me safe out of here, and I'll show you where I got my goods. No problem.
Where are these trolls?
They'll be anywhere. They're close, though. I can still smell them.
How many?
Two. One's bigger than the other.
Can Malibu make a perception check by smelling?
Sure.
The 19?
Now that he's drawn your attention to it, that familiar stench, that sickly sweet smell, Malibu, is unmistakably Troll.
He's not lying.
Can you tell if it's coming from a certain direction?
Yeah, I'd say Malibu, with that 19, fainter in here than it was in the room you were just in.
It was stronger in the other room, not here.
Could we, and I just kind of move my head to nod towards that opening in the wall. Like, in other words, could we go through there and get out and maybe he'll show us where his stuff is?
Show us the treasure.
Sorry. I'm not sure how you communicate that without saying it, Carrie.
I look at everyone. I try to get their eye and I nod like my head towards that opening as like, should we go out there? Should we escape that way?
Malibu vehemently nods yes.
Belton, do you seem to agree?
If there's trolls in here, they're evil and they might kill us or you.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll kill me.
Yes, I don't want to fight a troll. I don't want to fight a troll. I don't want to fight one troll.
Point of order here. I think we need to have a little bit of a group huddle here, Junog. Do you mind if we just do this real quick in private and then we'll come back to you? Is that all right?
Yeah, you go on. I'll wait right here.
Okay, fantastic. And I will step outside of the door and motion to Viswava, who has been completely silent the whole time, and for good reason, I think. So, yeah, I'd like motion, like, come here. Over here.
I'm staying in the room.
Okay.
So is Malibu.
Hey, I know that you may have some mixed feelings about what we're doing here with this guy.
That is an accurate assessment, yes.
I understand, but I get the feeling he may know where this mace of yours is.
You may be right, but I don't know if it's wise to let him know that I am here.
Oh, no, absolutely
buddy
not.
Buddy with your little friend?
Yeah, no, I think it was wise of you not to say anything, especially since he doesn't know you're actually there.
Has not smelled me yet.
No. So, I mean, I'm thinking that maybe if he's just going to hang out and wait for us to get rid of these trolls before he shows us where the mace is, that we go find these trolls, assuming we find some way of defeating them with this toy maker stuff, this library of toy maker gear. I just wanted to make sure you were okay, that we were working in cahoots with this guy, because he seems all beat up, his eyes are all gouged out, and I mean, I'm not on his side. I just want to let you know that. I want you to 100% know that I am not on his side. I'm here to get the mace.
I believe you, and somehow, I cannot imagine that anything that we could do would be worse than what has already happened to him. He can stay in that room blind for the rest of his life, for all that I care.
Wow, you're cold.
Viswava smiles.
All right. Let me grab Violet and Malibu and let's work this out.
So Belton will go back to the doorway and motion to Violet and Malibu and say,
Violet, Malibu, it's time we check out this library and see if there's anything in here that may help us with these trolls. And then maybe, just maybe, if we take out the trolls, Junog, then you'll show us where this treasure of yours is?
If you could kill the trolls, yeah, I'll show you anything you want, mate.
All right.
Belton?
Yeah.
I know how to kill trolls. Fire.
What?
That's why my hands shoot fire, I think. It's my Eladrin magic protecting me, you know, and it would burn them and they didn't like it. It's how I got away from them.
Oh.
Partially.
Malibu, that day when I found you, you told me that you had trolls that raised you? I didn't believe a word of it, to be perfectly honest, but...
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that the reason why you can cast fire is so that you can protect yourself from trolls?
Yeah, isn't that obvious?
I don't have anything that will shoot fire.
Oh.
Can I look around the room and see if there's anything useful?
Absolutely. You start poking around. There's lots of very interesting books in here, Violet. You could spend a week if you had the opportunity. But there is one volume that catches your attention pretty quickly. It's a heavy red leather bound book that records the details of an ancient war, leaders, major battles, defeats, victories. Alongside the factual details are also the personal experiences and notes of one of the generals. And you can tell by the lack of decay and the relatively excellent condition of this volume compared to the rotting and moldering texts that you find it with, that there is likely something arcane or magical in nature about the book itself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we have 10 minutes?
I hope we have more than that, to be perfectly honest.
I'd like to ritually cast Identify.
Would anybody else like to do anything while Violet's doing that?
How bad does Malibu look?
I'm not that wounded anymore.
Okay. Then I look over at Viswava. How bad does she look?
I look great.
Oh, fantastic. So I look over.
I'm feeling excellent, frankly.
Okay, fair enough. So I look over Malibu. I'm like, I nod. I look over Viswava. I nod. And I'm like, yeah. Cheers to you. I take out a potion of healing and I chug it.
Violet, you have discovered paper armor.
Huh.
Once per day, as an action, you can hold the open book to your chest and quote the first line of a text contained within. Wars are won by the prepared. When you do, the book transforms, unfolding into what appears to be a full suit of parchment-colored plate mail armor over whatever clothing you're wearing. You're proficient with this armor, as long as you're attuned to the book. The fragile nature of the armor means it's destroyed if you're fully submerged in water or similar liquid. While wearing the armor, your armor class equals 14 plus your dex modifier. Each time you take damage, roll a 2d20. If you roll ones on both dice, the armor is destroyed, leaving behind only scraps of paper. Otherwise, if the total of the two dice is less than the damage taken, the armor collapses back into the book. The book also folds back up after 1 hour of use, or until you use an action to quote the last line of the book. In battle, even victors suffer death and loss.
Hmm.
Wow.
Violet, during your search, you also notice there's a huge pile of rubble in the northwestern corner of the room where the wall has collapsed. As you're working your way around the room, you notice that there's a curious passageway off of that rubble pile in the north corner, leading west deeper into the house. Make an intelligence engineering check for me, Violet.
That's a 15.
Looking at the nature of this passageway and the nature of the damaged wall, you suspect that what you're looking at is a secret passage that is no longer so secret because the damage to the library wall has revealed the entrance to it.
Okay. Malibu, look at this. Junog?
Yeah?
There seems to be a passage here. Do you know where it goes?
What? I smell the wind. I think there's a hole in the wall here.
He starts walking towards the opening that leads outside.
That what you mean?
No, it's over by me. Over here. It's over where I'm standing. Do you remember there being a secret passage here?
No, just books and shit in here.
I wonder where it goes.
Could be trolls knocked in the wall here. I couldn't see it before.
I'll leave you with Malibu for a minute. I'm going to go tell my friends about this passage and see what we can do about it. And I go, Belton.
Yeah?
There's a secret passageway.
What?
Secret passage in the library.
Oh.
And look. What do you think? Should we check it out?
Yeah, I guess so. Does Junog think that the trolls are this way?
He didn't even know it was here.
Don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Never mind. I don't think you're gonna fit in here, buddy. This is for smaller folks.
That's a real shame. Well, probably best I sit right here and wait for you.
Fantastic. Is Viswava? Oh, yeah, gosh! I should...
Peeking through the door.
His head perks up. He says, what?
No, I'm sorry. I completely sneezed.
I heard that name. You hear, coward.
Rap. You come to visit
Please
your old friend,
that.
Junog.
Why?
Don't call
That's what
her
everyone
that.
Calls him. It's what they are.
No, that's not what everyone calls them. That's what you call them.
Okay. Listen, this was my mistake, so I'm going to make up for it.
Junog. You here, Lady Viswava? Come to see your old friend Junog, have you?
Viswava hears this from outside the door, pulls out her scimitar, and before responding, looks through the door at Belton and Violet and raises her eyebrows like as if to ask, do you want me to respond to him?
This was my mistake, Junog. Listen, we all do things that we regret, and I know everyone here can say that of themselves. I think it's important that we all just come to terms with things that we've done so that we can make up for them. People do things that hurt other people, and if we have the knowledge that we've done the wrong things, then we can make up for it, right?
What the fuck are you talking about, mate?
I'm just trying to say that you did bad things and bad things got done to you. And so I think it's important that even though, yes, Viswava is here, she's not going to do anything. And I don't think in your condition, you're going to do anything to her. So let's just all stand down for a second. Yeah.
I ain't looking to cause trouble. I'm nice and polite. I know what you want, Viswava. You come for that mace, right? What was your dad's mace? Your boys told us all about it. It's what you come for. And I know right where it is. So let's talk.
Visuava walks slowly and carefully into the room, just at the entrance, and says, "You have yourself a deal. Let's talk."
He raises his head as your voice touches his ears.
"Perfect. Now, you want to know where it is, and I'm happy to tell you. And all I need is your word."
My word?
"Yeah, I know what the Fadap word is worth, Visuava. Still carries weight in these parts. I want your word. I can walk out of here."
"If you give me that mace, you can go wherever you please. You have my word."
"Right. It's across the hall there. Door to the right of the entrance, if you're facing the entrance hall. Along with the rest of your stuff from your boys."
"I hope that you're right."
"See if I ain't. But do I got your word?"
"You have my word."
"Is it locked?"
"I ain't locked it."
Visuava's gonna go up and jiggle a handle here.
"It's loose."
"Well, friends, are we doing this?"
Sure seems like it.
"That's what we came here for."
"Great. I pop open the door and I will step inside."
You're looking into a dining hall, Visuava, where you see the headless carcasses and gear of the four Fadap clansmen hung up as trophies around the dining chamber. As soon as the door opens, the speakers crackle to life again. "Is everybody having a good time?"
"Oh my god.
Great!
This is the worst."
"But remember, the fun never stops at Toymaker Hall. Visitors are only entitled to the amount of joy included with their admission ticket. Happiness is non-transferable and cannot be combined with fun."
"Is everything right where we left it?"
Visuava is breathing heavily, trying to keep it together. Mm-hmm. Hand on the scimitar, not responding to Junog's questions. But she approaches the bodies of her men.
Your eyes scan among them. You see battered weapons, damaged armor. You notice one of the dwarves, who was part of the party escorting the supplies, the caravan that Junog betrayed, you know was a mage, Visuava, who had a pair of magical gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And the ogres apparently failed to notice them because they are still on the corpse. You're familiar with what they are. They're subtle mage gloves. While wearing them, the person who has them on gets a +1 bonus to their armor class. And in addition, when they cast a spell, they can use their reaction to expend a number of charges equal to the spell's level, casting it without any seen or vocalized components. Gloves have 4 charges and regain 1d3 charges each dawn. Your eyes flicker over, note the gloves are still in place, keep flickering around the room. The mace is not in here.
I would like to remove those gloves from the body and quietly tuck those away with me.
You peel the gloves off the hands and pocket them.
I'm going to turn back and yell to the party, "I don't see it in here."
"It's in there, center of the table, like a bouquet of flowers, right in the middle of the table."
He gestures towards the dining table. The spot that he's pointing at, there's nothing there.
"Are you lying to us? There is nothing here."
"No, I ain't lying. They took it, then. They must have thought he was special."
"Who?"
"Curse it. Snowtail."
"What?"
"That's their names. Curse it's the big one. Snowtail's the little one. Curse it's the one that smells good."
"The trolls.
The trolls. Okay, I get it. Okay. Curse it and Snowtail? That's their names?"
"Not so loud, mate. They can fucking hear you."
"I'm sorry?"
"They're here. I smell them. Can't you smell them?"
"Yeah."
"Yes."
"Do you mean they're here in the room?"
"You can see and I can't. You tell me if they're in the fucking room."
They're too big.
I don't know. So they're in the general vicinity. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I've not gone crazy in the last 2 minutes. So they're making their lair or their nest somewhere around the house?
"When they took the place, there was 4 of us ogres in that cell where you found me. You got it? When you showed up, there was only 1. What do you think happened to the other 3?
I know what happened to them. Dinner. Does Malibu know those names?"
"Yes."
Oh!
"Oh.
I know those 2. They're not nice. But they might give it to me. Maybe they'll be happy to see me."
How do you know their names?"
"Told you, they raised me."
"Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay.
That wasn't a story. That was
no,
real."
"No, I never. I just didn't think the coincidence here of these things. Okay.
What if they try to take you again? We won't let them."
"I don't know. I'll get away again. I got away last time, and then I found Belton, and he saved me."
Okay.
From what you know of them, do you know of something we could trade them or something? Do they...
They like food. They like being cruel. Yeah. They like hurting things. They like food. Yeah, that's about it. I guess they like each other. I guess.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
All right. So do we have anything that's going to help us against these things, like fire, like you said, besides the fact that you can channel fire through your arms?
I mean, maybe they'll trade me for it.
No. That's not something we're going to even consider. Sure. No, that's not going to happen. Well, we can find the mace, we take it, and we run. I mean, that's the best of all possible situations, I think.
Is there a kitchen? Have we seen any sort of area that's like a kitchen, or it's just the dining room?
You have not seen a kitchen.
What was the room that we found Junog in? It looked like it had all these kind of mechanisms and
whiz-bangs. There were gears. There was a canister of compressed air. There were crankshafts. There was an anvil. Supplies for a workshop.
Can we make a bunch of torches with all the pieces of wood that are laying around?
Acid might work. Probably why they're not here, because they're afraid of those things. They don't like to be burned.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know they heal, right? If you hurt them, they heal.
Oh.
You know.
Right. Them, right? Well, now I do.
Oh, yeah, that's important. But if you hit them with fire, I don't think it'll work.
You mean the healing thing?
Yeah. They don't like fire.
Let me just dip in here. If any of you have any kind of knowledge of any of this stuff in here, maybe there's some flammable material in here we could use to our advantage. So I just sort of check inside the room with all the gears and crankshafts and all that stuff in here.
Sure. An intelligence engineering check, Belt.
Looking around the room, I am immediately out of my league, and I say, I could use some help, because I have no idea what I'm looking at in here.
Sure, I can help.
But I will nevertheless make an engineering check. I got a 16, surprisingly.
Looking around for possible weaponry, Belton, big tank of compressed air strikes you as probably explosive, you know, if given a way to blow it up.
The chaos is rising within me.
Is it sort of like an oxygen tank where it has a regulator on it that is closed and it's self-contained, or is it like a compressed air canister that is plumbed into something?
It's a freestanding barrel.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. Does it look...
Give it a good whack.
Yeah. Like, make a hole in it and then light it on fire, so then I guess it goes
boom.
But
if you make a hole in it, it turns into a missile.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it'll shoot off. It'll just blow right through the roof. That's Carrie talking, so I don't know. I don't know if Violet knows that.
Rocket scientist and necromancer.
Violet, make an intelligence engineering check.
Got it. Oh, I know fuck all about that. I don't know, put a hole in it. Sounds good to me.
I don't know, I'm getting some heebie-jeebies about this, Violet. You're giving me the stare of doom here. I can't carry this thing no matter what, it's too big.
I can carry it.
Okay.
I think I can. Can Malibu carry it?
Yeah.
Maybe we throw it at them and then...
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Then fire...
The loudspeakers screech to life again, rebounding and echoing off the walls of the manor.
Fim, I smell the blood of an Elad train.
Uh-oh.
Is that you, son?
It's me. So they know we're here. Sorry. Do we want to run?
What do we There's want to a do? Horrible like feedback as if two microphones are facing each other that comes through.
Switch that off.
And it goes silent.
Okay, that's them. That's them being nice to each other. They know we're here. So either we go get them or they get us.
I would say the former rather than the latter.
Which one's that?
The first one.
Okay, so secret passage?
Yes, let's at least try that. Maybe we can gain some sort of advantage.
Viswava, you got any input on this?
If we know where the trolls are, we go to the trolls, yes?
Does anyone have any oil?
I do not.
Oh.
Never thought I'd see them again.
Well, hopefully after today, you won't have to see them ever again.
Feel a little bad about killing them, though.
They were going to kill you said.
Yeah, but they didn't. Every day.
Well, that just means that you were better than them.
Maybe you could try talking to them first. But I don't know, it seems like the element of surprise would help us here.
Let's try the secret passageway, but I'm not good at making plans. Remember last time I made a plan, it went poorly.
Okay, well, let's see if we can be very quiet and go down the passageway and see what we see.
They're probably too big to get in the passage.
Oh, good.
Question, Tal, how big is that canister of air?
It's like the size of a keg of beer.
Okay.
He hefts it up and carries it.
I have an idea, but I don't know if it's going to work until I see them.
Okay, I'm going to try to be stealthy. I rolled a 22.
I should probably go first, right?
Yes.
Well, if you want to be seen, then yes, you can go first. I prefer not to be seen.
They're going to see your torch. They can see in the dark.
Crud.
Malibu rolled a 12.
You want me to just sneak ahead very quietly first and tell you what I see?
No, they'll kill you. Yeah, so Malibu's going to go first with the canister down the secret passageway. He's hoping everyone's following him, but he's too scared to actually look back.
Malibu, it looks like it's going to turn a corner to the west ahead of you.
Can I peek around the corner?
Sure. Continues about 20 feet west, and you're looking at the back of a door that looks very obvious from this side, that it's a wooden door with a handle on your side. You suspect that it is a concealed door from the opposite side. It's like it's a secret door, but you're behind it already. No one's bothered to try to make it secret from the perspective that you're looking at it, if that makes sense.
Because you're in the secret path. Right?
Yeah.
The Malibu will sneak up to it. Is there like a peephole or anything that he can see through?
There is not. There is a handle. Looks like it's going to pull open towards you.
Can he listen at it?
Sure. Wisdom perception check.
A 7?
You're silenced from behind the door.
He looks back at everyone and shrugs.
Belton got a 15 on his stealth roll.
Vesuava rolled a 6 on stealth.
Violet rolled a 22, but she's in the back, so it doesn't matter.
Malibu takes a silent, deep breath, and he goes through.
Clearly, you have found a kitchen, Malibu. There are grimy, overflowing plates. There is a slop sink. There's an oven. You do spot some oil over by the oven, Violet.
Belton, there's oil over there.
Ah.
A couple little off chambers too, antechambers here.
Yep. You look into that side passage, Malibu, there is a little antechamber. This smell of rotting food in there looks like a disused storage room. It's to the east, and there's also a passage leading west from here.
I found storage. Maybe someone look in the one over there. There's nothing on the floor, like no trap doors, anything like that.
You can make a wisdom perception check if you'd like. Violet and Belton, you seem to be stepping out the door to the west.
I'm peeking in there, yeah.
Yeah.
You hear charming music box tune emanating from the chamber to the west and a delicious smell of sugar and cupcakes and like a springtime after sunset mixing with crickets and pine fills your noses. I need Belton and Violet to make charisma saving throws.
I was told the minute I saw that to...
Fair enough, you can make your charisma saving throw with advantage.
Okay, thanks. I've been waiting for it.
I don't think it's going to help me very much. Oh, damn, I got a 20.
Oh, I only got a 10.
Vesuava, you are also close enough, so you should also make a charisma saving throw with advantage.
I rolled a 16.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Malibu, from where you are, you hear the distant, tinkling, eerily familiar music and smell the allure of the fairy-eating troll, and you recognize it, and you're prepared for it, and you close your nose and mouth to it immediately. Violet, you are charmed, and a feeling of bliss washes over you as the floorboards of the artificer's office at the west end of the building break open, and two massive creatures force themselves up from below the house.
Malibu. Malibu, you've come and found us, son. Sometimes, if you've lost something, you stay right where you are, and it finds you. And you've brought friends, delicious, delicious friends. Come closer, my dear. Give us a taste.
And we are in initiative.
Thanks for listening. This episode was Dungeon Mastered by Tal Aviaser, with Andy Canistra as Malibu, Carolyn Fox as Violet, me, Matt Gordon, as Belton Freedew, and Katie Lear of Young Dragon Slayers as Vesuava Fadap. Visit youngdragonslayers.com to learn how they help kids and teens forge meaningful friendships and practice social skills through online D&D. This episode was edited by Tal Aviaser and Carolyn Fox. Some sound effects in this episode are courtesy of Describe, and some are from Monument Studios. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 9 of To Slay a Dragon.